This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
As a church community, and we're not just a social club. I don't know, for some of you, maybe this is your first time in a church service and this might be totally weird. It'd be remiss of me to think that every single person in this room knows Jesus personally as Lord and Saviour. So you might be going, what the heck's going on in this place? What is this singing? What is this all? What are they singing to? What's it all about? I want to tell you today what we believe as a church. We believe that our world was created by God. And we believe that every single person on the face of the planet, no matter where you come from, no matter what nationality, what color or creed, is created in the image of God. Unlike the animals. The only living being, this Bible tells me, that actually had life breathed into it by God was humankind. We are body, mind, spirit. People say, how does the Trinity work? Well, he's three in one, and we are two. We have physical bodies, we have our mind, will, and emotions, our soul, and our spirit man is what is driving us and seeking. What is the one thing that our world seeks more than anything else? To be loved, to be known, to belong, to have purpose. If we were just like any other animal, we would not be seeking those things. I know our school system teaches radically different things. And I unashamedly call it a load of rubbish. Because an accident can't create even a group of people so diverse as this. Look around at us. Aren't we amazing? All of us, from the youngest in the room and the beautiful, soft skin of little Indy and her beauty and her innocence to the crinkles of our old age, we're all beautiful. We're all magnificent. We're all created in the image of God, and we all are being created to be loved and to love. The problem is, there was an enemy of our soul who said, I'm going to lie to you continuously. From the minute you're born to the time there, and I'm going to try and put as much destruction and as much pain and as much stuff so that you begin to believe you're not worthy of those things. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And when the enemy gets a crack in and we start to believe it, he will not stop. If you're having a bad day, he will be relentlessly pursuing his lies. But the Father, who is the voice of truth, will equally be there, knocking, pursuing you. And my hope is that today we will all go, I'm going to stop listening to the voice of the enemy, and I'm going to start listening to the voice of truth. We believe as a church that Jesus came, and he was born of Mary. He was raised as a baby, just like Indy and every other one of us have gone from being a baby to the point we are now. Jesus was no different, except he was fully God and he was fully man. I've heard it and I've probably said it. God doesn't understand me. Oh yeah, he does. Because Jesus experienced every single thing that you've experienced. Read the Word. Read the Gospels. He was betrayed. He was lied about. He was misunderstood. Says he didn't even have a home or a place to lay his head. In Hebrews, I think it says, there is no temptation known to man that he doesn't know, he doesn't experience. So he actually understands everything you're going through. I've heard people say to me, oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done in my past. God could never do that. In fact, if I remember rightly, the first time I met Simon, he said to me, oh, if I ever come to the church, the roof will fall down. He came in and it didn't. And it's transformed him. Not because of anything he's done, but because of the extravagant love of Jesus Christ. It's unreal. We believe that 33 years after Jesus was on earth, he was sentenced to death in the most painful and excruciating way you could ever be sentenced to death. A death that was put aside for the worst of the worst. Except this day, the best of the best was there. And he went through it and despite the fact, and I shared it on Friday morning, just think of the love in that moment as Jesus bloodied, disfigured from the cross says, John, I love you and I trust you so much that I want you to take my mother to be your own. I want you to love her like she is your own mother. Oh, what love in the midst of excruciating pain. Peter. I identify with Peter. Passionate. Put his heart on the sleeve. Spoke. And thought about a day or two later. He would have been the guy, and I'm sorry, I've been this guy, done stuff, don't realise you've done it, and then having to come back and apologise to Michelle because I've just crushed her with something I've said. And maybe sometimes knowingly, sometimes not. Because sometimes my mouth speaks before my head engages. And Peter was like that. But Peter was passionate. Peter experienced something that we never will. He walked on top of water. Like, we give Peter a lot of flack, but that took some faith. Stormy night, stepped out of the boat, walked on the water towards Jesus. I don't know how many steps he made, and then he took his eyes off it and he sank. That gives me hope because I do that too. We get so passionate, so excited for what God's doing, and then something comes along and distracts us and it's like, oh, I'm sinking again. I don't know whether I heard that right from God. No, that stinking liar was speaking again. Trying to distract and storm us. Jesus sat around a table, probably eating figs. It was Mediterranean. And wine and leavened bread. All sorts of things. The Passover was a celebration, a great feast. And Jesus looked across the table and said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Pete goes, no way. If you die, I die. Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me. While Jesus is being sentenced, being beaten, a little girl, maybe the age of Quinny, I don't know, might have been a little bit older, walked up to Peter and said, you were with that Jesus. He goes, nah, not me. And he goes on to do that another two times. You imagine the shame, the pain of that moment. I denied the one at his greatest time of need. But I admire Pete because Jesus had been placed in the tomb. I know what I'm like when I blow it. I tend to get a bit shame-filled and I tend to go and retreat to myself. And I go off and I hide and I don't want anyone to see me because I'm feeling like I'm not good enough. But Pete, to his credit, actually was still in the upper room. He went there to pray. He went there with his disciples. Think about it. It would have been a pretty awkward conversation, wouldn't it? Like, because you're not talking about a group of disciples who were quiet and meek and mild. You're talking about zealots and tax collectors and a really dynamic. If you want to get a bit of a picture of what it was like, watch the Chosen series. Jesus' disciples were an odd bunch, and that gives me hope too. I read a book once that said, "Embrace Your Weird." I went, I need that book because it summed me up. But it would have been this dynamic, you imagine. And then Mary comes back in, goes, I don't know what's going on, but I got down there. We got to the grave. We were going to do what we normally would do. We anoint the body with the spices and all of those things. We got there and we didn't quite know how we were going to get in the tomb, but the tomb, because the tomb was all sealed and there was people commissioned to actually guard the tomb. That's how much they wanted to make sure that the body didn't get stolen. It was guarded and it was sealed. And the tomb is open and the guards going, well, I don't know what happened. Mary comes back to the group who are all praying and says, you won't believe it, he's not there. Who were the first to go running? Peter and John. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, he was very proud of saying that because he knew it. Not in a proud way, but he just knew that he was loved. And Peter, they race down there. Is there hope? Could it be? I imagine as they were running, they would have been hearing the stories that Jesus taught them around the table. You remember, I'm going to rebuild the temple in 3 days. That this will happen and that will happen. And all the stories that are in our scriptures. And now the beautiful part about it is that they found the tomb empty. The story goes on that Jesus turned up in their midst. And then not too long after that, Jesus reinstated the one that denied him to be the one that the church would be birthed on. The very one that in the pressure moment had said, oh no, I don't know him. Jesus comes back, and this is the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. There is not one person in this room who has blown it to the point that you cannot receive his love. There is not one situation that you are facing that he cannot help you overcome. Will he use the body of Christ in it? Yes, because that's his plan. But it's still him. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So Peter gets reinstated. And the reason that we are here today is because the disciples took Jesus' word literally and went into all the world and preached the gospel. Ever thought about that? That if they never actually took the Great Commission and obeyed it, we wouldn't be here today. And it's our job to take this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, who is not some nice moral teacher. He is the God of the universe who overcome sin and death and the grave and is victorious in every way. In the Word it says, these things will follow those who believe. The sick will be healed. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The lepers will be healed. All of those things that will happen. It said the dead will be raised. Aaron's not here to share some of the testimonies that he had while he's in Africa, but he's seen all of them except for the dead raised. He hasn't seen that one yet. But he saw the rest of it happen only in the last 3 weeks. I know in first conversation I had with Enid and John, they talked about some of the miracles that they saw over in New Zealand at some of the outreaches and those things. But I want the same Peter who denied Jesus and was restated wrote this in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 3. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of Almighty God, who always judges fairly. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on that cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Friends, what are you going to do with this message of Jesus today? For some of you, I sense that God is stirring in you and going, I want to recommit. My faith has become a little bit cold. I've become a little bit disillusioned. I'm disillusioned with the church because the church is full of people and they hurt each other. I'm disillusioned with anything to do with our lives, and there may be even some in this place that are going, I'm actually even disillusioned with God. I'm at that spot where I go, I don't even know that I really trust God. I'm going to lay it black and white. There's only one. This is it. You either he is who he says he is. He either is the Savior of the world or he's not. And you have a choice to make in that space today. Are you going to give your heart and your life back to the one who loves you so much? As that song, I Am Your Beloved, says, the one who knows me best loves me the most. I also sense in this room today, there is some, maybe one, I don't know, maybe more, that have never actually accepted Jesus as Savior. In fact, it might be a little bit of those moments, a little bit like a Jehovah sneaky, like just tricking Deb to go to a church service. You might be sitting here going, I don't even know why I'm here. All this just sounds like a load of I don't know what. And yet inside you might be just feeling a little tap at the heart saying, if this Jesus is real, I want him. I want to tell you today, it does not matter what you've experienced. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter any of those things, that you are loved by God and he wants nothing more than to be in your life. Does it mean that you come to God and you're never going to have a bad day? No. Never. In fact, my experience sometimes is when we give our life to God, actually the enemy heats things up because he doesn't want you to believe it. And that's why we need each other in community. Anytime we are feeling like we have to isolate ourselves from our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're believing a lie because that's actually contrary to the Word of God. We're actually meant to come together and work things through and allow God to transform us together. Isolation is from the enemy. Family and community are from the Father. On this Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the gift of grace, I don't care whether you've been involved in the occult, whether you're practicing New Age, whatever it is, that just tells me that you're seeking an answer. You're seeking truth. And I am telling you right now, I am, as it says in Romans chapter 1, I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? because I know how it's transformed my life, and I know how it transforms the lives of other people. And you've heard just one story of transformation this morning. I've walked with people who have tried to pursue a relationship with a God in every possible way. But when they actually open their heart to receive Jesus, their life completely changes because all of a sudden they meet love. There is not one person in this room today that is not worthy to be loved. You are loved. For some of you, even the thought of me, even hearing me say that you are loved, is almost like oil on water, where it gets repelled because you've actually got a wall around your heart that says, nobody can really love me. I want to encourage you, I want to dare you today. Open your heart this much. Open your heart this much and say, God, if you're real, prove it to me. And my experience would be that he will do it every single time. Friends, this is not about a religion. This is not about a religious set of beliefs. Every other single religion in the world says you've got to perform and still doesn't give you any confidence. I remember talking to someone who was a Buddhist one day, and they went, yeah, if I live a good life, I won't come back as a cockroach. How do you know whether you've lived a good life? What's the standard? Well, this book tells us the standard. And the standard is purity and holiness. And there is not one person who can achieve it. No one. Not me. That's why Jesus came. Can the band get up? Just be ready to play. I want to do This Is Amazing Grace. And then if you feel led to do Victor's Crown again, we can do that again too. Let's finish with a party. I do not want to embarrass anyone today. This is not about embarrassing people. It's not doing that. But I do know that sometimes that actual thing of going, making a step forward and saying, yeah, I want this Jesus. This morning, if you're here and you can go, oh, I think I want that. I want to know what it is to be loved. I want to know what it is to experience the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to know it. If you've never accepted that this morning, will you be brave enough just to stand? And I want to pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if there is anyone in this place who is going, you know what, my faith's been a bit cold. I have walked away. I may have turned up to church, put on my church face, but internally I know that I've been away from the Father. Will you stand this morning? And allow the Holy Spirit to come and just minister to you. We want to pray with you. And so I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It's not about whether you have got life sorted out or not. It's just about meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father God, I just pray for every person in this room. You know our hearts. You know what's going on in our lives. Father, for those in the room that are wanting to make a recommitment and saying, I want to be red hot for nothing else but Jesus Christ, I pray right now for a release of your Spirit to come upon your children in power. If you're making a decision to follow Jesus for the first time today, then come and see me after, actually while we worship, and I'd love to pray with you. And if there was anyone that was just a little uncomfortable to stand, don't miss this opportunity. Come and see me. Allow me to pray with you. If you've come with a friend, bring a friend. Let's pray together. It is the greatest gift you will ever receive. It doesn't make you some religious nut. It makes you know that you are loved. And we all need that. Father, for us, your body here in Mombok, your church, and for every other faith community that's meeting right across our country today and all around the world celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, we ask for an outpouring of your love and your Spirit to be across this land and across our world, because our world is dark. Our world is heading down a very dark path. And we need the light of Jesus Christ like never before. So help us as your people, your children, to shine brightly.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.